Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways! Oh.
Cricket Fan Podcast.
We've had a round of the Sheffield Shield now, and we've probably been left with more questions than we started with. And the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to try our damnedest to answer them. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by the oldest 22-year-old wicketkeeper in Australia, Tommy Beers.
I feel at least 50 after round one.
Yeah, sore legs and back and everything.
Hanging on by a thread.
The only man who's more excited for cricket stats than Andy Zaltzman is Ethan Dalton.
I don't know what's more flat, Tom Beers or the pitch at Junction Oval.
Well, the other is a man that we've had to drag into the studio because he was out there on Junction Oval with a magnifying glass looking for signs of life. It's George Porter.
Not quite, but I'm just trying to work out, like I said yesterday, if Tom Cooper slots in at 5 or 6 of the first test.
Oh, please. How good is the... How good is the Adam Zampa Instagram post of him taking guard on the road outside Junction Oval out there?
He's good for a little bit of social activity. Yeah. Zamps, actually.
He's one of the better ones.
You would get the ball to do more in the road outside Junction Oval than you would Junction Oval itself.
Yeah. Well, it's had those trams driving over it for ages, mate. Like it's there's a bit of natural movement off the tram tracks. We will start with the Vicks VSA down there at Junction Oval. There were some inflammatory comments made by Peter Hanscom after the third day when it became clear that South Australia were not interested in declaring and making a game of it. He said, "I'm just annoyed the game is dead. At the end of day 3, we have 2 more sessions tomorrow that we have to play of dead cricket. We're all going to walk away from here with a draw. Both teams could have been competing for a win. We'll shake hands after tea and tell everyone thanks for coming and sorry for such a boring game of Shield cricket."
He is bang on.
Argument weakened slightly by the fact that they'd made 600 themselves, Vicks, on the first 2 days.
They weren't to know how bad this pitch was. Like, usually
you
get a pitch that deteriorates. This did nothing at all over the whole duration. Mm. And then they realised this and said, all right, well, here's the equation. We'll try and make a game of it. And then South Australia went, nah, we're happy to bat once and make a million runs like you guys did in the first dig. That's how it ended with 12 wickets for the entire match.
12 wickets for 1,287 runs across the 4 days, which is a lot. You've got to feel for Jake Weatherald, who made the first ball.
Come on, poor fella.
I mean, we'll get into the discussion of it in a tick, I'm sure. But when we were watching it here in the office, and I thought, after the Vicks have put on 600, I thought, there's probably going to be a wicket in the first over. And then Weathers just goes and throws the bat at one wide and he's out for a duck. And I thought, Jesus, we could be on here for a massive loss.
James Pattinson nearly did a lap of the ground celebrating that one.
He should have conserved his energy, to be fair.
He did in the end. We bowled a fair bit of off-spin, big Jimmy P. There were runs galore for Nick Maddison, who made 224, Tom Cooper, who made 271, Marcus Harris, Will Pekowski, Alex Carey, and Tom Andrews also all made tons.
When Tom Andrews is making a Shield ton, you know it's a pretty ordinary wicket.
Yeah. What is there anything we can take from any of those runs scored, or do we just wipe this one and go, just ignore it?
No. Slot the Mad Dog in at 1.
The Mad Dog.
The Mad Dog.
Open the batting.
If anything, it's really good for Marcus Harris to actually get time in the middle.
Yeah, but...
But his
100 now looks worthless when Tom Cooper makes 271 not out. You need... even Maddison's 200, everyone was going, wow, how good's this? He's come back in first round of the Shield season. He could be a little bit of a bolter and then... Everyone's making runs.
The ones I'm happy to see make runs are Will Pekowski and Alex Carey in particular. I'm really keen to see Alex Carey make a lot.
We spoke about Carey last week, didn't we?
Yeah. A run a ball ton too. So he actually had a crack. Unlike Travis Head, who is very, very happy to play for the draw from the get-go.
Back another half century.
To be fair, when Trav came into bat, the game was maybe still alive then because the Redbacks were 2 for 90 or something along those lines. So when Trav comes in, there was potentially still a game to play for. But
on that wicket, you cannot make 50 off 185 deliveries.
No.
And look people in the eye and say, I was fair dinkum having a crack there. He packed up shop straight away.
So you think that
he had no intentions.
As 3 Victorians against 1 South Australian, do you think that the game should have been set up for a win? What do you think? Do you think that, I know my view, and we can go into it in a tick, but what do you think as a Victorian? Is there any bias in this because you want to see the Vicks win? Or
I always want to see the Vicks win. I don't see how anyone was taking 10 wickets in an innings on that pitch.
Mm. No. And that's what makes me think that South Australia just never wanted a result because Peter Hanscom fired up with his comments that were mentioned before, because he went to South Australia and said, all right, let's make a game of this. You've got 90 overs on the last day on this absolute road. How about we'll make a sporting declaration, 350. You guys now make 350 on the last day off 90 overs. And he said, 90 overs isn't enough to take 10 wickets on this pitch, but 350 is extremely achievable. He wanted to make a game of it, and South Australia went, nah. That's his problem.
Well, I think it's absolutely fair enough, and I'm actually quite happy that Travis Head didn't take him up on the offer, because if you bat for the best part of nearly 2 days and make 600, clearly in the Victorian changing rooms, you're all thinking, well, the Vics are thinking, we might be able to get him out twice for under 616 and maybe only bat once and come through with the win. That's their game plan. Pete Hanscom's made his bed. He's got to sleep in it now. And if you can't get the South Australians out for under 600 twice, you can't just go and change your tactic and go, oh, sorry, look, our first idea didn't work out. Can we maybe try and win a different way?
That's a relatively common thing to happen in first-class cricket, though. Mm. It's not uncommon for teams to decide on a sporting declaration and then have a crack at it.
Make an agreement,
It's not a test match.
Especially in four-day cricket, because it's often harder to get the result without that fifth day than we get in test cricket. Those negotiations go on, and some we hear about, some we don't. And
so if Pete Hanscom wants a result, public, declare it 400.
Yeah, but with, like Busy said, that you're not sure what the pitch is going to look like.
But that's just cricket. Yeah. I mean, it could change. It doesn't change. It's, you know, you got to play. Conditions.
South Australia were put into a position where they, you know, they need to survive twice to not lose the game, and they managed to even outdo that and put themselves into a position where they couldn't lose themselves. I think they should be, you know, particularly travelling to play the team that's won 4 Shields in 5 years.
Correct.
Like, that's not bad. You take that.
Yeah. Look, let's move on. Because we could talk about this all day, and we probably will when we get back to our desk. New South Wales versus Queensland.
Oh, easy.
Give Easy the final word there.
Don't turn my mic down.
Buddy, turn it off.
4 Shields, 5 years.
We'll move on. There was a game with a result. New South Wales knocked off Queensland. It was good to see. Harry Conway took 10 for 56. Good to see Dave Warner back amongst the runs. For one dig.
For one, yeah.
And then a golden duck in the second.
It really fell away quickly.
It did.
It fell away quickly when he did that stupid bloody Toyota celebration for his 100 in front of 5 people. What are you doing, Davey?
You can't cop that at all, can you?
You can't do that in a Sheffield Shield game.
On the list of meaningful hundreds that he's made, this would not crack the top 20.
Oh, it's relatively meaningful because he's made 100 runs in he could have batted for another 2 months in England and not made 125 runs.
He did his Toyota jump in a district game in Sydney last year.
I think he does.
Bloody Tom Andrews made a first-class ton this week.
He's a superstitious man. He needs to do that to, you know, it's part of his routine.
He deserved that first ball duck.
A lot of people came for that first ball.
Speaking of ducks, Steve Smith made a duck. It's his first in 3 years and about 3,000 first-class runs, Heater.
To US international and 24-degree specialist Cameron Gannon.
it's a questionable action. Yeah, but he got him. Strangely. He got him, and they hung the ball out wide, and he nicked it through.
Get the bad ones out now.
Do you reckon the Pakistanis are watching real closely, taking notes at that at the moment?
Going, let's bowl it. Let's bowl a shit one wide off and let him slash it.
Mitch Stark is a story out of this one, though. None for 42 in the first innings, and then one for 87 off 22 overs in the second dig. And they rolled through Queensland twice, really. In that first innings, none for 42. They were bowled out for 153. So
when you've got Harry Conway at the other end, who's taken, 46 wickets in 19 first-class games beforehand, taking 10 for 56.
Bowling it third change, yeah.
Don't take one for 120.
And he had every opportunity because he had the new rock steaming in at the Gabba, which is
a good new ball wicket.
Absolutely. So if you're not getting wickets, and admittedly, I didn't watch every ball of this Shield game, so there may have been some chances that he created. He might have bowled quite well, but he just didn't get the results.
Yep.
And that's what you look at when you're picking a test side.
Yeah, so that's he needs to pull his finger out a little bit, I think.
A little bit, for
Mitch
sure.
Stark, because he's going to go out of calculations quickly if he doesn't look out. Speaking of blokes in calculations, though, Marnus Labuschagne 69 and 52 in a losing cause. Mm-hmm. No dramas there. He's going to be playing Test for Australia for a long time, you'd think.
I'd like to see him convert one of those.
Yeah.
Just one of them.
Yep. I agree with that.
That was the one criticism of him in the Ashes, is that as well as he did to come in and be thrown in the deep end, he got himself in that position a lot of times and then got himself out just after 50 after a really promising start and didn't quite convert. So that's something for him.
I saw something on the weekend. He scored the most first-class runs this year without making a century.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Speaking of a batsman, Joe Burns, 13 and 52 in that game. Probably the only opener that really performed, I'd say, just about across. I mean, Marcus Harris, but we're sort of
Maddison
that
as well.
Aside.
But we're kind of
he opened, didn't he?
Yeah.
I forgot that he opened. But we're just canceling.
But what is going on in the Matty Renshaw department?
Yeah, you just can't really put it together, can you?
You just can't seem to get past 20 at the moment.
I'd love to see him make runs as well.
Yeah.
Especially looking forward. You get a young opener who can get kind of 3, 4, 5 years of proper test cricket into him. He's had a spell already.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that to be his only dash at test cricket.
No, for someone who was earmarked, you know, when he made that 180 against Pakistan, for someone who was earmarked as like a 15-year test batsman, to now be in a position where we desperately need an opening batsman and he's not making any runs, it's not great for him.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Well, yes.
Bancroft and Khawaja made less runs than him anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to go next. Cam Bancroft made 30 in one innings and a duck in the other.
Golden.
So he's not looking great to retain that spot.
That was quite funny, that dismissal. Did you see it?
No, I don't think I did.
So Matthew Wade and Tim Payne, who have spent the entire time in the Ashes with him, went and set a leg gully to him because you know how he gets right across his stumps. And the first ball of the innings, Jackson Burt bowled one on his hip and he flicked it straight to George Bailey at this like leg sleeve.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that was the first ball of the inning. So he fell into the trap immediately and they got him. And Payne and Wade, there was like the celebration afterwards, just went over and like high-fived each other and were just laughing. How did he fall into that first ball?
Yeah. Was George Bailey fielding at leg gully with his ass putting the mid on?
Speaking of Tim Payne, his first first-class century in 13 years. Yeah. Against an attack of Jai Richardson, Mitch Marsh, Marcus Stoinis, Ashton Agar, all blokes that have played tests, Stoinis hasn't, but all blokes have played international cricket for Australia. That's meritorious.
And a bloke who probably could sometime down the track in Cam Green. Like, it's a good attack.
Yeah.
It's a very good attack.
I love watching Tim Payne bat when he's going well.
Yeah, he's a
stylist. He's so easy to watch. Yeah. I like that he's up and about.
The big oil rig, Stoin, 250s.
Interesting, the Stoin. Because now
Mitch Marsh has broken his head.
Oh, my God.
We'll touch on that before we get back to the Stoin. So, Mitch Marsh got himself out. He made a few, I think.
He made 50 in the second innings,
So, he got himself in, got a good start, looked pretty good, and then got out and punched the wall on the way out.
Broke
busted his hand. So now he's going to be out for a few weeks.
You'd assume it's his right hand, wouldn't you? Do we know what hand it is? Is it his bowling hand?
I covered it this morning. It was his right hand.
Okay.
Yes.
Look, when he was
come on, Mitch.
When he was told to emulate Ben Stokes, I don't think they've been taking that far.
That's the closest he's gotten.
Oh, Mitch. Yeah. So that's not
so that opens up a spot for the oil rig.
Well, yeah.
I can't wait for Mitch Marsh to get picked at six just for his batting.
Yeah. There wasn't necessarily a spot for Mitch Marsh, but if there was, then Marcus Stoinis has put his hand in front of the selectors.
For sure.
For sure, with those 250s.
And, Wade,
and the fact that he's playing for WA.
Wade batted once. He made 40, so that's okay, but he would have liked a better return.
I really
but
think Wade probably gets a crack in this.
I think he does as well. But
even if it's a 5 or 6.
We've
got to make room for Tom Cooper.
And Nick Maddison.
Yep, and Nick Maddison.
If we could back Cooper.
And Tom Andrews.
3, 4, 5. Yeah.
It's good to see Jai Richardson out there again. 358 off his 31 overs in WA's only bowling innings. And Jackson Bird took 351 and 578.
He's just a good shield performer, isn't he?
Jackson
I was just
Bird.
Thinking that. It's about as far as he can.
Yeah. Well, he's one of those guys that'll take wickets down in Tassie because it suits him a bit.
Swings around a bit
they
early.
They picked him for that Ashes test at the MCG, and it just could not have been a worse pitch for him.
Yeah,
and I don't reckon.
Cook made,
but you had to pick him on form
in that
game.
Absolutely.
It's like, we need to bring someone in.
But I reckon that may have stamped his papers at test level.
Yeah,
Jackson Bird. And the fact that we've got a zillion quicks.
The fact that he couldn't get a gig over Peter Siddle for the last Ashes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That kind of says a bit.
No, that's spot on. All right, we'll wrap up with a bit of international cricket before we move on. India just steamrolled South Africa by innings, 137. Virat Kohli pretty determined to take Steve Smith Mandel as number one test batsman, 254 not out.
That's his
out on a no ball at one point after he'd made 200.
No.
Yeah, the spinner overstepped, and the South
Jeff
Africans,
Leach style.
Yeah,
oh, no.
The South Africans arguing with each other on field over overthrows and stuff.
They're in it's a just, bit of strife at the moment.
Their top order is awful.
Very ordinary.
Really, really ugly.
They got Thunis De Bruyne, who can't score like beyond 20, and Dean Elgar's not going that great. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a bit of strife. Fast batting at six.
Yeah, his record over in India is
horrible.
Their best two batsmen are batting at six and seven in Faf and Quentin de Kock. Yeah. So I don't know how they address that.
Quentin de Kock and Rabada had a bit of a blue mid-game. So yeah.
It's all falling
Everything's
apart
going well over in South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have better news, though, in Melbourne. Dale Steyn's going to the Stars. Yes. How good's that?
That's massive.
I'm really excited about
that. Huge BBL signings.
Yeah, we were.
We just missed him, I reckon.
We just missed him last pod. Yeah. We were talking about it afterwards, and Dale Steyn is like the ultimate fast bowler.
He's a god.
In my sort of,
I love
like,
him.
Yeah. In my time watching cricket, he was like, I kind of like, the only one I can compare him to really is like maybe Craig McDermott, like back in his early days, which you guys are all probably too young to remember. But he had that ability to beat you. He could really smash you out with pace if he wanted to, or he was crafty as well. And Dale Steyn is like a shark in the water all the time. Like an apex predator of a cricketer.
He was never
out always of the game. Felt like you were in, you know, in real mortal danger when he had the ball, whether it was your stumps or your head.
I hate to cross code it, but he's the Dustin Martin of cricket.
He is, a lot like that. Really a lot like that. That's actually, that's what I...
Like he's really, really angry and aggressive, but he's also really bloody good.
Yeah, it's what I envisage Jofra Archer being, if he can sort of build a base of righteous anger in him like Dale Steyn could access.
He's too relaxed.
Dale
Steyn was right up in your
Dale grill. Steyn was just like a tense... he was ready to uncoil and pounce on you at any minute.
Could you imagine Dale Steyn live streaming Fortnite?
No.
Seriously?
I hope he doesn't break down.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played a hell of a lot of cricket in the last few years.
If you're going to not break down, the best place to do it... four overs.
Come and bowl four overs. I hope he's not in 1 week, out the other. When they play the Heat here... Now, you looked it up. And I hope
it's in January.
It was Australia Day Eve.
That's right.
So
at the MCG, Melbourne Stars v Brisbane Heat.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah.
So everyone will have the long weekend with the public holiday taken after.
If they're both playing, which I think they are,
they'll sail to join.
De Villiers is post Christmas.
Yeah,
so but I'm not sure what Steyn's availabilities are. But if they can get that at the MCG,
because the Heat got De Villiers and they got Tom Banton before that.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. I'm really excited to see him.
Smashing it in England.
Yeah, he looked incredible with the stick. And then just before we go, the Caribbean Premier League finals on today, I think, or maybe yesterday. Chris Green's Guyana Amazon Warriors. They went 11-0 in the season got knocked off by 27 runs in the final by the Barbados Tridents.
They've never won a final and they've made it 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
The Tridents.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Melbourne Stars are the.
Look at our CPL
correspondent over here. He's all over it.
Oh, absolutely. That's right. Don't worry. I'm just checking Twitter, hanging out.
Had plenty of time between wickets in the Sheffield Shield game junction to do some reading.
It's a good endorsement for Chris Green, though. Like, he's opened the bowling all season for Guyana.
Yeah.
Going at like 6 and over, taking wickets, should be up there in international selection.
Indeed.
He's found his niche as that white ball bowler, and he's realised he's hardly played any for New South Wales.
Well, he's got the likes of Ashton Agar and Nathan Lyon covered.
Yeah.
At what point can you then go from like Amazon Warriors player to Australian T20?
Well,
it's a bit of a step up, I imagine, but like
at some point,
it's his niche.
He's
a good player. It's his go-to.
So this is the. It probably takes us to the end of this, the official Chris Green fan podcast, I think they're called. Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast.
The Travis Head Appreciation Podcast.
Yeah, right.
Coward. Okay.
Yeah.
And George's mic's off. See you later.
We'll see you next time.